Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before I start this episode, I should tell our listeners about something that happened back, I think, in 2010, where I was talking with someone named Doug, and I haven't heard from him in years, although I had a few conversations. And he remembered a possible abduction experience, the result of which he was working with the late Bud Hopkins to kind of resolve what was going on. I don't know if he was ever subjected to hypnotic regression, but obviously people are undergoing strange things, and the focus of this episode is on, number one, our guest Philip Kinsella's new book, Terrestrial Trespassers: The Grays, Abductions, and Areas of High Strangeness, and the fact that he's just not reporting this from an academic point of view. He's had the experience. We've probably discussed this before, Philip, but would you like to give our listeners kind of a background on what happened to you?
Yes, well, Gene and Tim, thank you for having me on your amazing show. Yeah, that happened in the winter of 1989, and during that period, I had no real understanding of what an abduction was or anything to do with, greys or reptilians even. Let's just mention that while we're at it. But I remembered that I'd come back from work from Bedford to Millbrook, where I would walk the mile or so back home to the village of Marston Mortain, and we lived in a very small cul-de-sac in a large house in the corner. And I remembered the time would have been when I got into the house around about 7:15. So in the house, when I walked in, there was my brother and my sister and, yes, our dog. My mother had been out at work, working late, and most of the house to the front was glass, frosted glass. So I walked through the hall and into the kitchen, left the glass door to the kitchen open, and kind of like just relaxed. And my brother was standing in front of me in the part of the kitchen diner, and he was facing me, so he didn't have access to the hall where I was looking out upon. I just wanted to relax, and I think a cup of coffee at the ready. And the dog was in front of the breakfast bar. We were just talking, as you normally do, like we all do when you just want to unwind. And suddenly the atmosphere began to change. I remembered that my sister was to my far left. She was by the entrance to the conservatory, and the atmosphere began to become electrified. And it was like the feeling you get when you get your hairs on your arms and the back of your neck stand on end. The dog started to react strangely. And my brother suddenly stiffened, and he raised his head to the ceiling, and he said, "There's going to be an earthquake, or Grandma's going to die." Those were his exact words, and I didn't know what the hell he was talking about, because there was no earthquake, and our grandmother at that point in time was still very much alive. And as I looked out to the hall that I'd just come through, to the frosted glass doors to the front of the house, we had a driveway and two bits of land to the right and left. This light started to appear, a white light, and I thought that our mum had come back from work early. I was 20, age 20 at the time, and as I was driving up the driveway, when I looked at the light, it started to become more intense. The dog at this point was going really mad. My brother was standing still, frozen in front of me. I don't know what my sister was doing. She remembers the event but doesn't know what happened to her. I realized that what could have possibly occurred was that they were frozen or knocked out in some strange way. I don't know. The dog wasn't. And as this light intensified, it seemed at this point where the front door to our property was, the glass, it was bending backwards and forwards as though becoming pliable. And I'm standing there, leaning against the cabinets behind me, where I was just looking at this, thinking this is impossible. My mind couldn't register what I was seeing. The dog was going really mad, really barking as though very frightened. And then through this light and where the material, the glass material, started to become pliable, this small being, it was about 3 foot tall, it was clad all in black, it was very diminutive in size, and it had a what I thought was a large motorcycle helmet on its head. It's the only way that I could explain that the actual head was much larger in proportion to its body. It just came through the glass, and as soon as it came through the glass, it ran ahead, disappeared from my view to my front to the left, because there was a small, very small turning that led to my brother's study and bedroom that we shared at that point, a big study and bedroom, and a downstairs shower room. And the glass returned to normal, and then my brother snapped out of his trance, and I'm standing there thinking, what the hell has just happened? My brain couldn't register it. And I shouted, there's an intruder in the house. And then I screamed, there's an intruder in the house. And I remembered opening the drawer behind me and taking out the biggest knife I could find. And then we went in search of this elusive thing, whatever it was, but it had shot across. At this point, when I pulled the knife out and was going to look for it, before I even reached the hall, it shot across very quickly from the corner to my left where our room was, wherever it had been, up the stairs, and nothing. So we searched the house, and there was nothing of it to be found. And I remembered in the early hours of the morning, and events at that point became even stranger. My brother and my sister had no clue what had happened. My brother had no understanding of why he said there's going to be an earthquake or grandma's going to die. But the next part is truly bizarre. And it's an event I will and have to remind your listeners that I had no regression on. I've never been regressed. I remember the whole incident as though it had happened yesterday. So in the early hours of the morning, very early hours of the morning, I'd say roughly about must have been about maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 o'clock. I had no clock to see, but I knew it was very early. I found myself floating on my back in the hall and in the same area as to where this being had come through, floating 3 feet off the floor on my back. I awoke thinking, oh my God, you know, what on earth is happening to me? I was then being pulled on my back towards the glass to the kitchen door, and I remembered going through it as easily as a knife going through butter and thinking this is impossible and trying to get out of this restraint, but I couldn't. And I could see the dog asleep in the corner in the kitchen diner. He had his place there, and he didn't seem to react to me, and I'm being turned round on my back, then very slowly to what would be my left, because my head is to the front and my feet to the back, and I'm being pulled through the glass. And all along I'm thinking to myself, this is impossible. I matter with matter. Matter can't go through solid material. And I'm being pulled through to the conservatory now, and through then to the conservatory, to the back of our garden outside. And we had a big patio and a huge pond there. Now, it's kind of like circled up, so I'm into a standing position, still 3 feet off the ground. I'm a little bit of a height, and I look up into the sky, and it's pitch black, but there are lots of lights moving. And I realize at that point, the question of UFOs is not ridiculous, that they're here. Why is there a problem with them? And as I'm looking at all these lights moving through the sky, there is one object that isn't moving. It's stationary. It's a large disc-shaped object. It's kind of like a dark gray, metallic gray color. As soon as I clock it, I feel myself being pulled towards it very quickly. And it's like that feeling you get when you're on a roller coaster and you're just about to make that dip. And that feeling was very prominent within my lower abdominal region. And then when I got so close to it, I thought I would hit it. I then blanked out. Now, there are two other parts to this. The next part was very embarrassing, something that I unfortunately suffered with within the media. When you're upfront and honest and you think that at that point, naive as I was, that people would understand, they didn't. But in this next episode, I awoke. So I'd obviously blanked out. And then I found myself in a room. It was almost like a medical room, but it was a little bit dark. But ahead of me, when I woke up, I could see that there was some light directly to my front and left. Interesting how that small being that came into our house disappeared to the left. There was this light to the left of me. But I found myself naked and strapped forcibly to a hard bed. And when I looked to my right, I could see some fixtures, but they looked as though it's like molded all together, like the there was these kind of like units that were to my rough, and it looked like it was all molded.
We'll continue with the look and the lights and more.
Yeah.
With Gene, Tim, Philip, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So you're describing yourself strapped, held down, seeing
yes.
This particular, it's like a room? How big is it?
It's not very big. I would say perhaps, you know, I'm in my conservatory. We've moved now, but I guess that this conservatory is about 21 feet across, I think. Maybe as big as that, I think, and the length weighs perhaps a little bit longer. But it was very dark and also hot. That's the one thing I did find. And of course, when you find yourself in a situation where you wake up and you're completely stunned at what's just happened, I mean, one minute I was being forcibly moved through solid matter, which my mind could not comprehend, and then coming outside and seeing in the dark all these lights that I assumed were UFOs, and one of them, a disc-shaped object, was just silently hovering. And as soon as I clocked it, being pulled up to it, and the next thing being in this very strange environment. Now, this is the most terrifying part, because there were two things that had occurred at this point that still to this day chills my bone. And you'll find that at the end of this, there are connections to be made that another researcher found. So when I'm looking to my right, I then discover that there are these three tall beings, and they are reptilian. I mean, for God's sake, I mean, how on earth could anyone believe that here I am and there are these reptilians of all things? But they are mean. They are not in any way like, you know, people talk of them as though they know them. We don't know what the hell they are. People have even got their names for them. I mean, I don't even know where they come from or what their names are.
Would you describe the creatures you saw? You say reptilians. How so?
Yes, well, I mean, they were very muscular. They were, I would say, roughly about 7 foot tall. Their faces were almost like, well, if I use the word dinosaur type, but kind of like T-Rexy type, I suppose that's the word to use. They were scaly, dark-skinned, and they didn't seem to have within their pupils, which were black, any form of compassion. In fact, the horror that I felt when I noticed them, the three of them, standing together side by side, and they were in this kind of like thicker mist, if that makes sense. The room that I was in was hot, but they had this kind of like thicker mist around them. I could still see them clearly, but this mist was quite defined, and that they were moving side by side, like some kind of strange posture or something like that. I really don't know what they were doing, but the instant that I caught eye contact with them, I freaked, because I realized that these beings were something that I never believed existed, and that the facilitation of the emotional connection that I had from them was of complete terror and fear. There was absolutely no empathy with them at all. I was just a piece of meat on a slab. But at this point, I then realized that there was something inside of me, and this something inside of me felt, I could feel it, because whatever it was inside or felt as though it was within the lower part of the anatomy, rather like the bowel of the stomach, and it felt within like it was pulsating. I knew that they, whatever they were, had somehow inserted this. At that point, I just screamed. I mean, I remembered screaming so loud that I wanted this out of me, whatever it was. It was the most degrading and awful feeling of deprivation. It was awful. And still recounting it, even then, the horror of it, the sheer horror, was what really broke me, I think, more than anything. And immediately, after, I don't know how long it was, maybe a minute, maybe 2-3 minutes. You know, people tell me, how long was it? Well, you know, when someone's in a car crash, God forbid, time seems to slow down, doesn't it? But it's all happened in a matter of seconds. And as I screamed, and then these guys had just disappeared, they'd gone, and then I saw this gray appearing where that slight entrance was to my left, where the light was, this small 3 foot gray approached. And I felt whatever that this instrument or device was being retracted. It had retracted mechanically. No, I didn't see any hands pulling it. I saw nothing. It was just like it was being retracted and then disappeared onto the floor. And this small gray approached, and it was gray, rather like a gray, but it was almost like a creamy gray, if that makes sense. I'm kind of blind, but I know the differences in certain colors. It looked like more of a creamy gray, if that makes sense. And it approached me from the area where the light was. It came to me. It ordered me to dress, and all I wanted to do was get the hell out of there. I picked up my clothing from the floor, and I dressed and I was ordered to follow it to where it had come from. And it took me into this area, which wasn't very far from where the bed was. It was just literally around the corner, and into it, where it come through from the left, there was a corridor. That's where the light was. It took me to the end of this corridor, and it turned to look at me, and I'm like, well, what's going to happen now? I want to get out. What I thought was a wall in front of me was actually a door, but before the door opened, Gene, this image of this tree was placed within my mind, a huge tree. I'll come to that a little bit later. I think I understand what that was now. But the door opened. It was a door because it opened, and I could see the village from a height. And we're coming to the last part now, which is even more bizarre, but there is a connection to be made here. So the grey's looking at me and asking me to get out, and I'm like, you just want me to leave? I mean, we're up in the air. It started to become morning because the darkness is becoming lighter. It's not like bright light, but you know when you get, Gene, that like when it's dark but it's coming into the morning, you know what I mean?
One question here. You said the grey communicated with you. By speaking,
yes.
By what?
It is a good question. I assume that it was what they would call mind speak, because to me that was very natural. It was just like a command, and I would reply back, and it would understand me. This has been something that fascinated me. You know, did the grey verbally speak to me? No, it didn't. But it felt like it was speaking to me within my mind. It was quite mechanical and quite to the point and direct, and it was as though, like we're speaking with one another. It was like a communication, but it was not done through the mouth, I suppose. It was like a knowing what it was saying. It was like it was speaking to me, and I could understand it. So I'm kind of like, at this point, going to break down because I don't like heights. And then I feel this jolt like I'm pushed. I'm floating now to the ground, and there is this last part, which is equally bizarre, and there are two greys beside me that I am ordered not to look at by the one that's up there. And I'm thinking, well, that's very strange considering the fact that I've just seen you, so why would these two that's beside me, helping me come down to the ground, why would I not be able to look at them? As I came to the ground, I was then met with the last part of the experience. There was another grey standing in front of me by our conservatory, and above it was this other smaller saucer-shaped craft. But this grey was very different, and I assumed that the others that had followed me down to the ground had taken off. It was almost like, I'm not allowed to look back. I can't look back. I'm not allowed to go back. But this grey is in front of me, and this grey is uniformed, and it looks slightly different from the one that I'd seen up there on whatever that thing was. And it seems about 4 foot tall. It's wearing a one-piece uniform, khaki uniform. It has knee-length boots. It is wearing a pointed hat on its head that seems to be part of its uniform. It looked quite smart, as the kind of like hat seemed to connect with his uniform.
Let's stop it here. We'll hear more about this, whatever it was, with
yes.
Philip, Gene, Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
USA News Update.
In the past 2 weeks, hundreds of people across the U.S. have been arrested for protesting the Gaza war. Anti-Israel demonstrations have emerged nationwide since the NYPD arrested over 100 demonstrators at Columbia University on April 18th. According to the New York Times, protesting students have been setting up tents at campuses across the country, resulting in over 400 protesters being arrested for refusing to disperse. President Biden expressed his willingness to debate Donald Trump before the November presidential election. Biden made this statement on Friday during an interview with radio host Howard Stern. Trump, who declined to participate in the Republican primary debates, has stated on social media that he is ready to debate Biden anytime, anywhere, any place. USA News, I'm Jen Gelber.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Philip, Tim's going to have 1,000 questions for you in a moment, but I want you to amplify that hat.
Yes.
Because it sounds like maybe it's like a leprechaun.
Well, the hat was very pointed, and I have to explain to you that the gray itself was a little bit different from the others. It appeared a little bit more humanoid, but it had more of a pronounced point to its chin, and it was angry. His arms folded, and it was looking at me real mean and angry. And I was like, well, you're angry with me? I wanted to punch it. I was so angry. At this point, my mind was almost like an inferno, an explosion of complete, utter craziness. I couldn't understand what had happened and why they did what they did. And I'm looking at him thinking, you're angry with me. I wanted to punch him, but I couldn't move. I was so annoyed with him. But the anger that he had, I could feel it within my solar plexus. It was almost as though I'd been punched myself, but I couldn't punch him. And then I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to answer it. And if you do answer this question to me, then I'll realize I'll be able to tell people how I'm able to get through solid matter. So I said to him, I said, how the hell am I able to get through solid material? I mean, you know, how is that possible? And all of a sudden, he looked shocked as though I punched him. And his mouth went into an O, and his eyes widened, and then he started to slowly arch his head back up to the underneath of his smaller craft. And he started to rasp this unintelligible language that reminded me of the voice synthesizer that my brother and I had for our ZX81. It was just rasping this voice, mechanical, mixed up words, voice out of its mouth. It froze. And then I, at that point, saw myself being pulled very quickly through the glass of the conservatory door. Again, my head facing the front so I could see this grey frozen. And then I'm being pulled through to the hall, through to the study, then through to my bedroom, and then bang, I come into my body and I wake up and immediately have a nosebleed. And in the morning, we find that I've got 3 triangular marks behind my right ear, 3 marks on my right arm. I had profuse nosebleeds to the right nostril that the doctors were going to cauterize but didn't after they stopped after 2 years. And needless to say, I found it difficult to walk for a time. But what that grey had been doing was exactly the same as what my brother had done earlier that late evening when he had frozen and come out with unintelligible garbage, because another researcher, Pierre Sebac, had put those pieces together. And I also had problems with my right ear that did develop later, many years later. Whether or not it's an implant, we still don't know. But that was the extent of that abduction. And people have told me what it is, and I'm like, well, no, you don't know. I don't even know. But I can tell you that this then led me into areas of research into the abduction and trying to take away a lot of the mythos with it and looking at it in a sense that, well, this is much deeper than we thought. It's kind of like real deep and real weird. And unfortunately, just before I finish up here, being the fool that I was back then, well, I was 20 then, but in my early 20s, it being embraced by the media machine to come and talk about your story, it sounds amazing. And then, of course, being then the butt end of jokes for the media cartel. And, of course, at that point, I retracted, joined some UFO groups, and then started research privately to try and find my own answers into this most perplexing phenomena.
When you say, Philip, that this creature started talking in a way, the same way that your brother did. And I take it this was when your brother said, there's going to be an earthquake or grandmother's going to die.
Yes, correct.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Did your question set him off somehow in a way that it found unexpected?
Yes, that's a very good point, Tim, and I still don't know, but I think you're right. I think that whatever control that they had me under, I seemed, I suppose, on some level to be able to no longer be restrained mentally by them. And I think that perhaps, possibly, I can't prove that. Well, we can't prove any of it, really, can we? But I think that that is the most plausible explanation. I think that I had not, they couldn't restrain me to the point of me wanting to ask them a question. And I think that, you're right, Tim, had shocked him to the point where he then went into override because he didn't know how to answer it, or he was refusing to answer it. And it seems very bizarre. I mean, I didn't even put the pieces together with what happened to my brother and then what subsequently happened with his grave for years, until Pierre Sebac examined the abduction phenomena in all its fine detail and then said, hey, I found something here. And he believes that this phenomena goes much deeper. It's not just spacemen coming from another planet. I think we're dealing with a phenomena that's been here for a very, very long time and seems to know us a lot better than we do, and operates under the guise of certain traits that are in vogue. Certainly, yes.
Well, as the show progresses, we'll go into more detail about your actual experience, but I'm curious about, and you've alluded to how the media reacted to your experience. I mean, afterwards, was the first thoughts in your mind is, you know, I've got to tell somebody like this. I've got to, you know, like call the police or tell media about my experience?
No, I have never, never, ever approached the media. They mm-hmm. have always approached me. And my willingness to come forward to speak was because I was hoping that they would have answers, that they would be able to help understand. And they didn't. And then I realized that I was in a circus of ridicule, because at this point within my life, age 20, I mean, previous to that, my brother and I had, with our maternal grandmother, seen a silver sphere, what we call a Foo Fighter in broad daylight, when we were 13 years of age in a back garden in Middlesex in Feltham. And they had a big house, and it was a summer's afternoon. And so we discovered that this phenomena seems, I think, with a lot of people to connect with you on certain levels, and will present itself in a way that you will never be able to prove to the good public, so we know to be. But no, I've never approached the media in any way. They've always come to me, and I thought that they would be there to help. Little did I realize that they weren't. And, of course, a lot of people are fearful to speak out. But no, I'm a very grounded black and white person. If there's something to be discovered, I want to find it. I want the truth. I don't want the fairy tale version. Excuse the pun. And that's what set me on this mission, to try and find out what it is, because we operate by a system which is telling us undeniably that UFOs and UAPs don't exist, and neither does life after death. Well, either I'm lying or they're lying, and I wanted to find out which one was. And of course, I think, you know, Gene and you, Tim, know exactly what the answer to that, I'm sure. I've got a sense of humor. I'm sorry.
At your age, and you said this was in 1989, I mean,
yes.
I'm sure, you know, at that time, probably most people had heard about UFOs. Had you heard about the whole abduction phenomena?
No, not the whole abduction phenomena. I understood clearly about the UFO phenomena, and with the experience that we had, and there are and have been other experiences in our childhood, but during this point I was not able to at least put these pieces together or understand the entire complexity of the phenomena that we're dealing with, because it's so multifaceted. At that point, age 20, I had a keen interest in UFOs, sure, you bet, but I didn't understand about the abduction phenomena. I didn't understand about anything to do with aliens taking people. The nearest I got to that was with Whitley Strieber, and I saw him on a show here in England on Wogan, Sir Terry Wogan, who's passed over, and he was being interviewed and about his book Communion, and this was 1987, I believe it was. 1987? No, I can't remember. Was that 1987? Or 1996? I can't remember when his book came out. I'm sorry, I can't remember. But anyway, I remembered seeing him being interviewed on this program, and the audience were laughing at him, and I felt sorry for him.
We'll talk more about Whitley. And we've got Philip, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Now, Whitley was the 1980s when he wrote the book Communion, and I did encounter him a few times, and I never really got a good handle on him, though I've heard lots of pros and cons. So you mentioned the hearing Streber on this broadcast. Would you amplify what happened?
Yes, I saw him being interviewed, and I was really interested in his abduction experience. And people have said to me, oh, it's because you sucked it all up and you saw what he saw. No, I didn't see what Whitley Strieber saw, not at all. And it seems strange that at that point that I then later joined the Communion Network, which is, which he and his wife had set up. So that was the point where I understood about the rawness of an abduction. But my abduction had reptilians in them and greys as well. I'll just tell you something to fast forward a little bit here. When I was and still am now, seriously, like you guys are, intent in finding the truth, even though we still only have theoretical models to work with, in one of my first published books by a publisher called Believe, Bridging the Gap Between the Psychic and UFO Phenomena, the publishers agreed to publish the book, but only if I had retracted the part on the abduction itself with the internal investigation and the reptilians, because they felt there was no way that we could put leads with the reptilians and greys, and I had to go along with it. But thankfully for me, I had in 1996 an article published that was centered around the abduction and the greys and the dangers, inherent dangers of cloning, and a spiritual question that I wanted to address. That was published in Alien Encounters, and my account itself of the abduction was published in a Truth Seekers magazine by Matthew Williams. So I'd actually got my proof there that, you know, I didn't just miss it out, then put it back in again years later. So there was this stigmatism about reptilians and greys. And, of course, I had a hard time dealing with not just with greys but reptilians. But I think now going forward within the research and looking into the Antediluvian cultures and with certain codices we're discovering there's a lot more involved than we were apparently led to believe within the past. So that's an area that's a really deep and heavy subject. But I kind of liked Whitley Strieber. I've never met him, and I've never spoken to him. But the book itself, I think, was the template for many other people to awaken to the fact that this phenomena is able to connect. And we also know with the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, something known as, a hitchhiker, the Skinwalkers and Hitchhiker. So, you know, whether or not we're all being deluded and or there is some kind of connection with this phenomena that integrates with certain individuals for reasons unknown, that seems to be apparent, I think. So it doesn't make me special, or indeed my brother or anyone else. It's something that we're investigating. But the question is, why do certain people experience this and others do not? What is it about you as the individual that they are interested in? What is it that they're looking for? That was primarily what I wanted to try and get into. So that answers that question to a degree, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think the comment that you had received, that because you had seen Whitley Strieber talking about his experiences, that's why you had yours. And I don't know if you think about all the people beside yourself across the country who saw that interview, if you took that statement forward, then there would have been probably thousands of other people also having made up abduction experiences because they were influenced by Strieber.
You got it.
That doesn't make sense, does it?
No, but the media will find any tool at their disposal. I mean, my brother and I were writers of children's books with Senator Queen Elizabeth II when she was alive. That was going on for 33 years, and I can say it now, she's passed over. I have all the letters and everything. The press know about that. And, of course, what they were doing was saying, oh, it's because they're imaginative, that they write children's books, that they, you know. So if you are to have an abduction, you are to be a complete blank canvas, unless, of course, you are someone of repute, like someone in the military or the police force. And that just goes to show what kind of handle the system that we serve has on us. At the symbolic pyramid of power, there's at the top. And, of course, they're puppet masters that create all the rules and the regulations. They have no idea. And I think that this is primarily the reason why they are too damn scared to tell the public what's really going on, because it goes far deeper than just this whole mythos of them coming from another planet and visiting and experimenting on us. We are dealing with a force which is far more formidable and so in the know with what we are as a human species. The one thing that really interested me, not so much my case now that happened to me, you know, that's happened and I still can't seem to work it out. And the presentation of UFOs on varied occasions at close range, okay. The last one that we had some evidence of that because my niece filmed them when they were on their way to us. But my main area now is the research, the real digging into the nuts and bolts, and even beyond that, because we have a war on our hands, I think, and not just within those within the system that we serve that continuously lies to us and denounces the subject or has us going around in circles, but also members within the UFO fraternity who, you know, are divided within their opinions. And so this is why I walk very carefully into these areas of investigation, which is not just within primarily UFO and UAP research. Funny how they changed the acronym into something they don't believe, and then pronounced on the news channels that certain UFOs have crashed the first time ever here in England, and I'm sure in your great country, the United States of America, you know, UFOs have crashed. And, you know, it's like a psychological game, and it's a dangerous game because they're messing with our minds. But I think and feel that if they were to really reveal the truth, which I doubt very much anytime soon, I think the public would be completely horrified. And it will be then at that stage that the people, the good people, will find how just badly we have all been deceived. Every one of us, I think. So, yeah, I mean, we've all been the butt end, and I'm sorry I used that word, because that's exactly what was mentioned on one national television program that I was on. with Nick Pope and with the late Georgina Bruni, the wonderful, amazing Georgina Bruni, and Omar Fowler, who was a researcher on the triangular UFOs. He's passed over, God love him. But I realized at that point within that program, and not just that program, but several others, just what was going on within the media cartel and how powerful they are and how they can try and destroy you. So I was then, you'll laugh at this, guys, I was then asked later on to be joined on a television panel with some priests to argue out the UFO phenomena, the question of that. And I said no. And they asked why, and I said, because let me tell you, I won't win. Because the system that we serve relies more and believes more in faith, a faith that can bring no conviction or facts to the table. It will make people believe in that. And when you try and bring the facts to the table, whatever those facts are in terms of, you know, knowledge, information, they don't want to know. Tells you everything, doesn't it?
Oh, well, that was probably a good call on your part not to appear on that program. Because, like you said, I mean, you know, when you go up against the established religious ideals of the world, and say they start bringing up things, and you know, and I know it's a little bit different there in England than it is here in the United States. But here in the United States, you know, they'll start bringing up, well, the UFO phenomena, it's, you know, demonic, it's of Satan, and that you know, you talking about it and talking about your experiences shows that, you know, you have been influenced by this demonic process, and you've lost already.
Yes, I mean, I had no legs to stand on. Basically, here in England, they denounce anything and everything that suggests any form of afterlife or conscious survival beyond this realm. Indeed, I think that when you are touched by this singularity, it changes you. And as you go through the process of this change, you seem to be drawn down other areas of research. For instance, we're looking into the areas of the Dogman, the werewolf here in England, Sasquatch, that type of thing. And I think there are connections to be made on some levels, because my argument has been, well, where are they? Where the hell are they? If you guys can tell me what bar they're down, I'll go down and we'll all have a drink with them and you know, have a good old battle out with the questions. But I think, to be honest with you, the religious establishments, they are tied so harshly to their belief systems, their structured belief systems. There's nothing wrong with that. But when that belief has been shattered by an external force, that changes everything within you as the individual.
We are going to look at more realities in our next segment with Philip Kinsella. Tim Swartz, Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.